This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jed Babin, who served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the administration of President Bush number 41. We want to get his thoughts now on President Obama's attitudes towards the Middle East, what it will take for Middle East peace, and just in general, what his reaction is to Thursday's larger speech on the Middle East, including the uprisings in many countries in that part of the world. And Jed, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you, Greg.
Well, the thing that's getting the most attention is the president suggesting that Middle East peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians essentially needs to start with Israel conceding that its borders need to go back to where they were prior to the Six-Day War in 1967. Obviously, Prime Minister Netanyahu has a big problem with that, saying it's indefensible. The borders as they existed then make Israel much more vulnerable. What do you make of the president's suggestion, and how do you expect it to work out?
Well, I think it's a bizarre suggestion that really ignores history and all of the events that have happened since 1967. Netanyahu's remarks today in the sort of halfway press conference that the two had right after their meeting were right on point. I mean, the president has ignored history, ignored the facts, and ignores Israel's security. I just don't think that there's any way to go forward based on the idea of returning to the 1967 borders, and Netanyahu made that very clear.
And the president, of course, saying that Israel's security is paramount. Do you believe that he just doesn't fundamentally understand what it'll take to secure Israel, or is there more to the story than that?
Well, it's not a question of misunderstanding. Obama knows precisely what he's doing. You know, he has a plan. You know, he's got a plan for our economy. He's got a plan for us in the world. And he has a plan, which he's acted on really very well since he's been inaugurated, to alienate our allies. This is a step, however, which I think will cost him a lot of loyalty in next year's election.
Hmm. Jed, the larger issue that he talked about prior to getting to the Israel-Palestinian conflict in his speech yesterday dealt with what we've seen in these uprisings, protests throughout the Middle East, all the way from Tunisia to the end of the Arabian Peninsula. And he says that the United States will always support those who strive for reforms, democratic reforms in particular. Some say that's great. We were founded on democratic principles, and so we should embrace that. Others say, well, you never know who's behind some of these supposedly democratic protests. Perhaps even in Egypt, we're seeing that not turning out quite how we thought it might. So what do you make of the president's policy there?
Well, it's completely off kilter. It is counterproductive, and you know the idea that all of these Arab uprisings are going to result in some sort of democratic governments, I mean, it's certainly not the case. You see that in Egypt, you see it in Tunisia. Iran has a very heavy hand in a lot of these uprisings, and it's not going to allow any of them to result in a democracy. So the president is just, I think, very naive in that respect, but he's willing, I think, willfully ignorant of the facts on the ground.
He did also refer to Iran in the speech, saying that Iran was responsible for basically inspiring the Syrian crackdown on their people, and also he referred very briefly to its illicit nuclear program, as I believe he described it. Do you believe that the president is getting tougher on Iran? Does he need to get much tougher? How would you describe his policy there?
Well, he's got no policy on Iran. You know, we've gone on since 1979, really, allowing Iran to be an enemy of the United States, to attack us through its terrorist proxies, and to pursue nuclear weapons without really paying any price for it. The president is saying some nice words, but there's nothing behind them. It's all empty rhetoric.
So in terms of these two different policies, the way that these revolts are going in various countries and the policy towards Iran, what would be the smart way for him to put forth a very solid and clear policy?
Well, there's going to be a very basic redetermination. I mean, Obama will never do it. I mean, he's just simply not going to do what needs to be done. I mean, President Bush wasn't able to do it either. And we talked about it before on this show. I mean, the fact of the matter is you have to start with the idea that radical Islam is an ideology, not just part of a religion, and that we have to defeat it. We have to go after the ideology that propels terrorism. And to do that, we have to tell nations like Saudi Arabia that they're not going to get away with sponsoring terrorism anymore. I mean, you have the President of the United States now still calling on Bashar Assad, one of the principal sponsors of terrorism in the world, to reform his government. It's laughable. He's just not going to get anywhere with this, and I think he's deluding the American people. Look, what Obama is doing is very clear. He's got this idea of pushing all of the world's crises back and to just delay everything, to delay any further crises until after his 2012 supposed reelection, or his planned reelection. And he wants to just make sure everything goes quiet so no one criticizes him on his foreign policy. I just don't think that's going to work.
Just today in Syria, as is often the case on Fridays, after Friday Islamic prayers, that's when the violence really gets going in these last few weeks with the government firing on demonstrators. The death count keeps climbing as it has in all recent Fridays. The fact that this happened once again after the president's speech, would that have happened regardless of who is president, or is that a sign of how seriously he's taken in the region?
Well, it's regardless of who's president, except if you had a president, and we did not have one in George Bush. We clearly do not have one in Barack Obama, who is willing to take on the terror sponsors. I mean, that's always been in the too hard pile on the president's desk, and no one seems to be willing or able to take it on. So we need a president to replace Obama who would actually have a very realistic view of what's going on in the Middle East, going on in the Islamic world, and unless and until we get such a person, we're going to be in tremendous danger from Islamic terrorism.
You mentioned that we need to defeat radical Islam. It's not just an offshoot of a religion. It's an ideology and a political movement at the same time. Some have said that that could require, you know, more military action like we're seeing in Libya, in places like Syria when it's cracking down on its own people. Others say you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. What specifically would you suggest with respect to Syria?
Well, I mean, the basic point, you conflated a couple of things there. I mean, radical Islam as an ideology, you have to attack, you know, rhetorically. You have to be willing to say that radical Islam is a failure. It offers slavery, early death, and poverty to the people who adhere to it. The issue of Syria and so forth really does require some military action, and we could do that relatively easily. I mean, I've never been a favor of nation building. We should be getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan and focusing on the nations that sponsor terrorism and doing whatever we need to do covertly or overtly to change those governments.
Jed, do you expect anything significant to change beyond this in the policy in the next year or 5 years, depending on how long this president's in office?
Well, if this president continues in office, it's going to go this way for a very long time, and he's not going to change a thing. You will see increased pressure on Israel. You will see Iran achieve nuclear weapons, and you will see Islamic terrorism spread even further around the world.
Last question on Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu, obviously, as we mentioned before, very critical of the president's speech and the policy that the speech underlined on Thursday. Is this a guy who can, you think, have the backbone to stand up against this, or is Israel's dependence on our foreign aid, military aid, and so forth, going to force his hand at some point?
Well, I don't think that Netanyahu is going to back down. The real question is whether Israeli politics, which is about as organized and clear and free of conflict as Italian policy, you know, the basic point here is, will the liberals in Israel understand finally that Obama is their enemy and not their friend, and let Netanyahu do what needs to be done?
Very interesting. Jed, thank you so much for your time, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Jed Babin is a former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense, served by President Bush number 41 in that capacity. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.